At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's go out to the HRNP guest line. Welcome in Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters. You can listen to him on ESPN 97.5. Every Monday and Wednesday, he'll be back on tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Soccer Matters. Glenn, thanks for taking a few minutes. Last night, U.S. men's national team falls to Uruguay 1-0, eliminated from Copa America after they lost to Panama, really the result that set them in. What was your frustration watching this match last night?
Yeah, grand frustration, I think. There's a lot of ways to look at this. You can look at it as a singular game. I think the players competed against Uruguay. We have a history of going into tournaments and not taking care of business so that when we come to the third and final group game, there's always the real challenge and the mental and physical effort to try and get through. This was a tournament that specifically you should knock off Bolivia, you should knock off Panama as the United States and go into your last group game with everything under control, rest players if you want, so that by the time you get to the knockout stages, you're not gassed. This time they didn't get through. But this wasn't a singular game problem. This is what's occurred since the last World Cup where the U.S. did get into the knockout stage but got beat by the Netherlands.
I was going to say, Glenn, you see people on social media, they're blaming the officials. They're blaming the red card. They're looking at this, and they're kind of keeping it all condensed and kind of not seeing the bigger picture. Ultimately, this team has fallen short and continues to fall short, and it doesn't seem like they're making the progress that you would expect from this nation and this team.
Yes, and that would be based on the litmus test of the last World Cup. The last World Cup was fine. You outplayed England. You were the better team. We left the World Cup getting into the knockout stages, trying to figure out how to score more goals. Okay, no problem. But since then, it hasn't ascended. Team hasn't played well. It has, in my opinion, gotten very, very comfortable with the coach. So I do believe there's a thing where coaches can be the perfect manager or coach for a team at a specific time. So when these guys and these kids were all young, Pulisic, McKennie, Adams, and all of them, I think Greg Berhalter was a good coach for them at that point, at that time. But I'm tired of the kumbaya, we all get along, and the pounding of the narrative. The fact is the team hasn't ascended. And when a team doesn't ascend, you can't fire a whole team. You have to fire a coach. There is also some things with how Greg Berhalter was hired. His brother was in the Federation, okay, was a top dog in the Federation. They never interviewed Tata Martino, who was a prime candidate in my mind. He had just won the MLS Cup, had coached Barcelona before in Argentina. Apparently they didn't want to interview a guy named Marcelo Bielsa, who's now the Uruguay coach, because he didn't speak English. So, you know, there's a little bit of a skull and bones to U.S. soccer. We must remember it's a money-making organization first. Where is the sporting director, this guy Matt Crocker, who hired Greg Berhalter, the technical director? I mean, why doesn't this guy come out and speak to the American soccer public? It's smart business. It's engaging people. It's helped growing the game. But it's all a veil of secrecy. It gets me fired up, and I think systemically that's a part of the big picture of this whole thing. So, you know, like you guys said, if you wanna blame a referee last night, great, go ahead. I mean, this is the sports fan of this day and age. Take your low-hanging fruit, pick it, do whatever you want with it, make yourself feel good. But this is a bigger, big-picture issue.
Agree completely, but I do want to ask you about the referee yesterday. I like good drama in sport. Glenn Davis of Soccer Matters joining us on the HRNP guest line. And yes, there are bigger issues, and you aren't going to win a match where you don't score. So there is that. But what did you think of that ref yesterday, especially the flashing a yellow but then letting the play go on and then not shaking the hand of Christian Pulisic after the match?
Yeah, so to my earlier point, Jeremy, I'd say if you took care of business in the first two games, it becomes less of an issue, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other reason why you got to win the games you should win. You should be that's the game that you're targeting as the game you really want to take the most out of when it comes to competition in Uruguay. But the referee was poor. He was inexperienced. I think he hasn't done a whole lot of, we could pick out a lot of incidents. Now, I saw a video, though, that showed Christian Pulisic pointing to Uruguay and then looking at the ref and saying, go celebrate with him.
Yeah, I like that one, though.
I don't know where the context of it is. I'm a big Pulisic fan. I'm not going to let that tarnish my opinion of him as a player. But I would agree with you, it wasn't a very well-officiated game. And it's also very interesting to watch it in comparison to Europe, right? Because you got these two tournaments, and it's amazing to watch them in the same day and just kind of bathe in the differences of what's going on right on down to the officiating.
Well, Glenn, the thing is we know that all going back to the game you mentioned against Trinidad and Tobago when they got eliminated from World Cup contention, we've seen Bernholter be a guy that's been under scrutiny. We know that they were out looking for his replacement and then went back to him. But how does this man keep this? Is this just simply a financial decision? How does he keep his job now going forward when now, like you mentioned, it's at the forefront of everybody in the sports world watching what's going on, going, they need a change and they need it now.
Yep. So for me, this is a silver lining, not winning last night. It's just like that Trinidad and Tobago day that you aforementioned. So this is a good moment because if somehow you got through last night, he'll remain the coach until the World Cup. So now the Federation has a big problem. Federation's getting criticized heavily. Is the Federation going to, you know, protect themselves and come out and say, okay, we're big and strong. We're relieving our coach of our duties. Greg Berhalter is done. That's a possibility. It's also a possibility he remains there because there is kind of a skull and bones about U.S. soccer. You know, it's just like so secret all the time, and people don't say anything. They never get out front. They're constantly trying to censor people when they're talking about the team. And this is the beautiful thing about this. People are freaking talking about soccer. They're talking about the team. What's wrong with that, right? I mean, you can't on one hand want it all to grow, and on the other hand try to control everything that everybody wants to say and do about the sport. So for me, you know, your next coach could be gainfully employed right now. I think you go get an interim coach. You bide some time. You got some friendlies coming up against, you know, Panama and New Zealand. Not the type of competition you really want. And you put in an interim or a technical coach, and you approach other people. You look for people that become available. I mean, Jurgen Klopp's one everybody's talking about right now. And I have to tell you, I hear people going, oh, none of these guys are going to want to come here. I'm 180 the other direction. Why wouldn't you want to come here? Coach a team that's already in the World Cup. You're the host nation. You could make history with them, and you could also become, you know, the greatest soccer coach in U.S. soccer history because you led the U.S. to the semifinals of a World Cup on their home soil. So I see it as a very inviting job for the right guy, but it has to be somebody that's been there, done that, experience that goes in with this group of young players, and it's disturbed. It's like everybody's got to reprove themselves. Enough of the kumbaya, and it's all about meritocracy.
Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters. You can listen to him every Monday and Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can follow him on Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock. Glenn, you talk about, you know, replacing Berhalter. I think it's greater than that, and you kind of talked about how it's the entire system. This thing has, you know, long-lasting implications, whether it's who the manager of the U.S. men's national team is, whether it's the infrastructure of how everything is run. If we made you in charge of the U.S. men's national team growing soccer in our country from the ground up, how would you make the U.S. men's national team better than it is now and improve it from where it's at right now?
Well, I think I touched on one of the things. I think transparency for a country like ours, where you have three other traditional major sports, and we could even go deeper than that, right, with lifestyle and hockey and everything else that's coming up, the World Cornhole Championships, you name it. I just wish U.S. soccer would be, a little bit more out front with what they're doing. But like I said, it's corporate. It's a money-making machine, which it is. And somehow you have to begin to try to tie things together at the youth level. The big issue there is always the amount of money it takes to play the game. I know there's been attempts and ways of trying to infiltrate and give people opportunity at younger age levels to avoid all the high cost of the dollars that exchange hands in the youth community. But, you know, we may be stuck with that. I don't know how you go back on that. But we do need some vision. We do need some leadership. And I think that all begins with a level of transparency and smarter decisions. You know, I mean, should a coach be in a second cycle with the U.S.? 6 years? I don't know. It gets pretty comfortable, right? And I think when you see players comfortable with a manager and it gets too cozy, it's to your detriment. That's kind of what I've seen on the outside. It's just my judgment. Doesn't mean I'm right.
And we've seen that, Glenn. We saw it with the Rockets with Steven Silas. The players all loved him because it was a cakewalk, so of course they're going to speak highly of him. But were they getting better? And I think this is similar. So with that in mind, and the World Cup down the road, at least enough time down the road that you could make a change, is there enough time, and who should they go get should they choose to move on?
There's totally enough time, and I think I'll add to what Jeremy, you asked me a second ago. Healthy pressure in this country when it comes to the sport and the media is needed at all levels, whether it's MLS, whether it's U.S. soccer. We need more people, healthy criticism, not character assassinating, but healthy criticism. We've got great writers out there. We've got a lot of people that are growing the game through writing, but now they have to be a little bit bolder and continue in a larger way to ask the tougher questions, because that fingers the top organizations, and that's what media is supposed to be about. It's about getting answers, and it's about getting people to speak to us directly, and that in turn makes it more interesting and grows the game. So, I mean, right now you could hypothetically be working on Jurgen Klopp, who just left Liverpool. Guy's an amazing personality. He's an amazing coach. He's never coached the national team, but he's pressure cooker coach. He's a guy you could say, all right, Jurgen, we're interested in you. When would you like to take over? Is it Christmas time? Is it next summer, a year out from the World Cup? How do we plan this? But you're going to be our hired gun, and your sole job is not to develop the game. It's not to tell us how to do it developmental-wise. We're not even going to use those words. It's your sole job to take this group of players and get us as deep in the World Cup as you possibly can.
I like it. I think it's a great idea. I can't wait to listen to Soccer Matters tomorrow. I know it's going to be a must listen. Glenn, thanks for taking a few minutes to break it down for us, the failure of the U.S. men's national team in Copa America.
Joel, Jeremy, remember, it's just my judgment. It doesn't mean I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, Soccer Matters, Glenn, and so do you. You know what you're talking about.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Sports Talk Radio, we all know everything, and we all know everything more than anybody else. But Glenn Davis, the soccer authority of the beautiful game in this city, you can listen to him each and every Monday and Wednesday right here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters and on Twitter at Glenn Davis Soc. Glenn Davis, S-O-C. 713-780-3776. It's time. I don't know why we've never done this, and we might have to put some ground rules in place here. The Killer Bee Hive of Fame. Who belongs on the Killer Bee Hive of Fame? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Time now for the first annual Killer Bee Hive of Fame. Who belongs in the Hive of Fame? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bee. Killer Bee Hive of Fame. So there's some prerequisites there. The reason that I thought about this is because they put out that video of us talking about Hunter Brown and the greatness that is Hunter Brown and Renell Blanco, because Blanco should be an all-star. Brown should have been the pitcher of the month. May still be. I don't know when they come out with that. So I asked the question on Twitter, what does Hunter Brown have to do to enter Killer Bee status? You know, he's nowhere near that yet. We know that. But I started to think, why don't we have a Killer Bee Hive of Fame? Like, we should have a Killer Bee Hive of Fame. Now, there's some things that we probably need a workshop here. Right. Like, do we do this when somebody presents to us the court of who should be up for Killer Bee Hive of Fame, or should this be a once in the year, once a year type
annual
of thing?
Or as appropriate?
I don't know. That's the question I'm asking.
I think it's like the Astros. Once they started their Astros Hall of Fame, then it was like, well, they're going to do it yearly. Are they the right off the top? They had like five or six.
Yeah,
and then the number goes to be a lot smaller. I think we could do it annually. But so you're saying they have to have B in their name?
Yeah, I think they do. That's a pretty good rule for me, I think. Like, they need to have Killer B in their name. Now, I think we should do it annually. Like, people can suggest to us nominees, and then we could just write down the nominees, and then whenever, you know, that time of year comes up, you know, maybe we come in dressed in tuxedos, maybe we just put on a tie. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We should probably do it in the summer, quite frankly.
And we could have a vote.
Yeah, the three of us.
Well, we have the ultimate vote.
Because
we could also have the fan vote so that the fans could
give their voice. Vote.
It's like the All-Star balloting, right? We carry more clout, but they could have a percentage.
I don't like that. I think that they could try to influence us. Okay. They could try to sell why a guy should be a nominee, but I don't think they should have any vote at all. Like, you're having Twitchers that have a percentage of the vote. That would be like kindergartners picking their teacher.
Well, I think that if we just did a fan poll, and then they could chime in. It's like the All-Star balloting. I think that, you know, that you still have.
And it's always awful.
No,
who gets nominated,
because the way
they All-Stars.
Do it in the NBA now is it's just like a 25%. It's like the fan vote counts 25%, but at the end of the day, the true people that are watching the sport and or, you know, seeing the people on a daily basis can make the final decision.
I think they try to influence us. I think you, me, and Brian were fine by me.
Fine by me, too.
I think that we ultimately have the three votes. Okay. It takes majority rule. Two of the three have to vote the guy in. Since B-Rod's filling in for Brian, he could have vote today. Or gal. Did I say girl? Did I say guy?
You said vote the guy in.
But oh yeah, it could be. Well, I'm gonna propose a gal today.
Okay.
In fact, you know what? Because you double dog dare me, I'm gonna propose two. Gals that could be in the first ever class of the Hive of Fame. I do think that I do want it to be selective. Like, I don't want to let any jabroni in here.
No, I agree with that. But then I also, again, try. You know, me, I'm a criteria guy, and I'm always a stickler about that. That I want to. Do they have to have? They've had to have had a relationship and or an appearance, appearances on the show?
No. No. Okay. Absolutely not.
Just as it relates to Houston.
Yeah, I would say a level of greatness in the city of Houston, and probably need at least their first or last name to start with a B, quite frankly.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if we were going to do this more personalized to the show or if it was
because I think we'd be leaving out a lot of people. We'd be leaving out a lot of people if we only made it exclusive to the show.
A bumper for it.
Well, he would be the only one, I think, that we would include. Like, our list would be Bagwell, and then that would be
There's time.
That would be it. All right, so we're in the Hive of Fame. Like, you and I are in the hall. We are the new era of Killer Bees in this city. So Blank and Branham are in the first class of the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Now, the original Killer Bees were Bagwell, well, in Houston. There's been Killer Bees previously outside of Houston, but the first group of Killer Bees in the city of Houston was Bagwell, Biggio, Derek Bell, Sean Berry. Mm. So let's start there. Jeff Bagwell, is he in the Hive of Fame, yes or no?
Absolutely.
I'm yes there, too, so we don't even need B-Rod to talk. I guess it matters because unanimous. It's an extra class of the Hive of Fame.
A little extra clout.
So Bagwell, B-Rod?
Yeah.
All right, Jeff Bagwell has joined Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham in the Hive of Fame. Craig Biggio.
Hi, this is Jeff Bagwell. I love the Killer Bees at 97.5.
And there, we have our first bribe to get into the Hive of Fame.
Biggio for sure.
I'm a yes on Craig Biggio. He was my favorite player growing up.
Yeah.
Craig Biggio, unanimous. I'm going to nominate two more, and then we had some tweets about these. Y'all can nominate a few if y'all want as well, but I'm going to get mine here real first. The Queen Bee, Beyonce.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Queen Bee, Beyonce.
For sure.
All right, I'm going to say yes as well. Is she unanimous?
Yeah, I don't want the fan base coming after me.
Oh, that's another good point, too,
they're pretty rabid.
The Beehive. Yeah, Charles got
a
dose of it in the playoffs.
Hmm.
He made a comment about with the Galveston water, remember?
Oh, that's right.
And Beyonce's mom got involved, and then the Beehive caught wind of that, and they went at him, and he was like, hey, I don't want any more of that smoke.
Okay, all right. So Beyonce's in. And then my last one will be, and this might be outside the box, I don't know. Simone Biles.
Well, I was with you. That's who I had, too.
All right. So we're yes on Simone Biles. Yeah. B-Rod, you're not a sexist, are you? No? Okay, so Simone Biles is unanimous. Y'all want to throw any out to be in the first class of the Hive of Fame?
I thought of Shane Battier.
I'm going to go no on Shane Battier. Okay. Not a level of greatness to be in the first Hive of Fame class of the Killer Bees.
Yeah, I don't think he's first ballot.
There we go. Not first ballot.
Lance Berkman.
He can be on the list next year. Lance Berkman, I struggle with, quite frankly.
I honestly think he should be in.
Lance Berkman got a raw deal by the Hall of Fame, left out first ballot. Now, he wasn't the original in the original group of the Killer Bees, but I think he's the greatest bee that was not in the original Killer Bees. So I'll vote yes on Lance Berkman.
Yeah, he was my favorite Astro growing up, so...
He also, you know, went to Rice. All right, so Lance Berkman joins Bagwell, Biggio, Beyonce, and Simone Biles. Well, of course, with Blank and Brown.
Can I clarify too? Of the other Killer Bees you mentioned, we're not even voting. They're not in ours.
Who's that?
Bell and Barry.
Oh, we probably should vote on them.
Right.
Derek Bell.
I say no.
Well, it doesn't matter what you say,
right?
B-Rod.
you don't want to be unanimously. No.
It doesn't matter what you say. And then Sean Barry.
No,
I'm no on Sean Barry.
No.
All right, there we go. All right, did you have another nomination?
No.
All right, B-Rod, did you have any nominations before we open it up to a few texts and a few tweets?
I do not.
Okay.
I got a funny one.
What do you got?
Brock Osweiler.
No, that would be the – what would be like a good play on words? Because this is the Hive of Fame.
Right.
It's not the Hall of Fame. What is a bad thing that bees do? Sting of fame?
Yeah.
They die. Brock Osweiler's career in Houston died.
Don't you get one sting and you're done?
I think so, yeah. Most bees, I think. Yeah. I'm not a biologist.
I thought that was the same with mosquitoes, and I was corrected by my daughter, of all people.
You thought that was the case with mosquitoes?
Yeah, once you sting, or once you, like, bite somebody,
really?
That you're done.
Huh, yeah, that's interesting. 1248 wants to nominate Bahana McNair. No.
Well played, but no.
1290, Brittany Griner. Shout out Nimitz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to vote no because she didn't play her professional career in Houston.
I'll say no.
All right. So no on Brittany Griner. Bill White Shoes Johnson.
Well, Billy White Shoes was great back in the day. The touchdown dances were phenomenal. But I will say we have a certain level of excellence. I'll say no.
I'm going to go no, too. 2884. Yeah. I'm going to go no there. B-Rod.
No.
Yeah, it's just a little outdated, I think. 2884 says the opposite, Ring of Sting. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good for, like, the people who are the opposite of...
Yeah, and Brock Osweiler belongs in there.
Yeah, he would belong. He's like, he would be the face. His bust would be on the Ring of Sting. Patrick Beverly and Randy Bullock. I think it was actually Bullock.
No and no.
I'm going to go no and no on that one as well. B-Rod.
No and no.
Bum Phillips says 1290.
Pretty good.
I'm going to save him for second ballot.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to put him on the
list.
He's
definitely worthy of consideration.
Okay, no on him. And then let's get to a few of the tweets on this, too. Who belongs in the Killer Bee Hive of Fame? 713-780-ESPN. So far, we have Blank, Branham, Bagwell, Biggio, Berkman, Beyonce, Simone Biles as our class, our first ever class. Who you got?
Bruce Matthews.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. I'm going to vote.
See, there's no shame in having a second, the second class, because
you
don't want to have all of the bang.
We want to be too big.
Yeah.
Like, we want to kind of leave a couple out.
Yeah. But I think he's worthy, for sure.
I'm going to vote yes, because we need a football guy.
Yeah.
Vote yes. B-Rod?
I'll go no, but just because we can't let everyone in the first go-around.
All right, Blankers.
He's in.
He's in. All right, Bruce Matthews is in. A few on the Twitter. Jason said Brian Bogusevic.
Yeah, no.
That's a no. Jose said... Jose Baltuve, that's not going to work, guys. That's not going to work, guys. Taylor says Jason Bourgeois.
No.
No. Tim Bogar.
No.
Brandon Backey.
No.
No. No. Okay, here's a good one. And this will be the final one for today before we take nominees for next year's class. Alex Bregman.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
What I hate about having Bregman on here is, like, I feel like he's not in the same tier as Bagwell and Biggio.
Well, and I'm not going to say yet, because I don't think he's going to ever be in the Hall of Fame. But what he's meant to the golden era of Astros baseball puts him at a different level than just about anybody else Astros-wise in terms of for this nomination. And since, you know, it's going to be few and far between the guys with the B in their name that's going to qualify for this,
yeah.
I think he definitely is in.
B-Rod?
I'll say yes, just because of the two rings.
I'm going to say no because he's already in, and I don't want it to be unanimous.
Okay.
I don't want it to be all like he's already in. Mm-hmm. If B-Rod would have voted no, I would have voted yes. I want it to be a 2-for-1 vote on Alex Breaux. I want him
to
be.
You don't want him to have the same kind of cachet.
I don't want to have the same cachet as Bagwell and Biggio and Bergman and Beyonce and Simone Biles.
Once you're in, you're in.
Bruce Mathis.
There you go.
So that's our first class. What do you think of the first class of the Hive of Fame? Blankers, Branham, Bagwell, Biggio, Bergman, Bregman, Bruce, Matthews, Beyonce, and Simone Biles.
It's pretty darn good.
It's a good class.
It's really good.
It's a really good
class.
I don't
know how we outdo it next year.
No, we have some names already. And if you want to nominate names for our first annual, I guess it'll be second annual if we make it, Hive of Fame, you can send those year-round. We'll keep a rolling list. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Yordan Alvarez in the Home Run Derby. How do you feel about that? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. There's a lot of nominees here that we didn't get to. Barry Laminack, Billy Wagner, Brad Kellner mentioned. Charles Barkley. I think how we have to do it next year, though, is I think we need to nominate like two or three each. Two or three each and bring it to vote.
Right.
And if we want to like, hey, guys, help me out on the nominees, and we give one of our nominees to like the texters or stuff. But I think we need to give two or three nominees to each of us and whoever's producing that day.
I think Billy Wagner's a good one.
Billy Wagner's a good one. That way it restricts on how big the class can be. Because like we could go rapid fire with all of these Bs and have 100 people in the class. Yep. But if we go like our two most pressing, then the biggest the class could be is up to 6. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the rule for next
year.
That's good. So 2 apiece or 3 apiece? I think I like 2. Okay. It makes it special.
All right.
It makes it special.
And it's tougher for us too to kind of whittle it down and say, well, there's a lot of good candidates. But if you had to just fight for 2, like McLean had to fight for Andre.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably bring on John McClain next time that we're doing this. He could fight for whoever.
Guys, I just want to tell you what a great guy Bubba McDowell was as a player and he's a coach. I like him a lot. I think he should be in. That's all I got.
I made a joke on Twitter yesterday, and he commented and goes, that was a great joke. I wish I thought of it.
Oh, really? What was it?
I was like, it was after the U.S. men's national team lost. And everybody's wanting to get rid of Greg Berhalter. Mm-hmm. And I said, breaking, Jim Schlossnagel is expected to replace Greg Berhalter for the U.S. men's national team coach. And it just tickled. It tickled John McClain. it gave the general a tickle. All right. The singer, rapper, and songwriter from Tennessee, Jelly Roll, is coming to Houston for his 2024 tour. Caller number 5. Right now to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see Jelly Roll for the Beautiful Broken Tour with special guest Ernest, Shaboozy, Ali Colleen at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion on Sunday, November 17th. If you're not one of the lucky winners, if you're not the lucky winner, tickets are on sale right now at LiveNation.com. Get your tickets, LiveNation.com, Sunday, November 17th, see Jelly Roll and special guest. 713-780-ESPN. Do you want Yordan Alvarez to participate in the Home Run Derby?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, 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 and never. We have our Yordan rules previously, but when you look at the history of some of the guys in the last couple years that have literally overdone it and overextended themselves, I know that Julio Rodriguez got hurt coming out last year, I think it was, in the Home Run Derby. There was at least one other player that got hurt. And their back and or other things were hurt coming out of the Home Run Derby. We've said how vitally important he is to the success of the Houston Astros, and that's why he has rules to protect him. This would be, it may have already come up in the past, but this is a solidified rule. Yordan, no to the Home Run Derby. I'm glad that it hasn't really got stuck on your radar. I'm glad you hadn't thought about it. Please don't think about it ever again because we don't need to see that.
I've seen some people that, like baseball people that I like respect, like, oh, it would be so much fun to have Yordan. He should do it. And it would be fun. It would be fun. But in no way do I want Yordan Alvarez participating in the Home Run Derby. Now, they changed the rules a little bit to where it's not as strenuous, but still pretty strenuous. But still, I'm out on Yordan Alvarez participating in the Home Run Derby. Chewy says, come on, man, why ruin the fun? Because we want him healthy for the 162. We don't want the guy to have, you know, a balky hand the rest of the year. Or who knows, he might strain his neck and then need Tommy John surgery.
Time out, Chewy. Have we thought about this? Why ruin the fun? What's more fun, getting to the playoffs with a chance to win the World Series or getting some crossed silver bats for winning the most home runs on one given night in the NBA. I mean, in the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Stop it. It would be way more fun if the Astros continue on the path they're going on. And that means you need Yordan Alvarez in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. Oso, he says that if the Astros are 17 and a half games back in the wild card, Yordan can do the derby. Facts.
Sure.
Like, let's save, hopefully Yordan never experiences this, but let's save this whenever the Astros are on a 90 loss pace. Let's do it in a year when they have no chance to make the playoffs. This year you're scrapping and clawing just to get back in the race. Anytime you're in the race, it's too important to have Yordan Alvarez in the lineup. 3082, you can't wrap Alvarez in bubble wrap. I really want to. I would love if we could wrap up Yordan Alvarez in bubble wrap. If you could wrap up Yordan Alvarez in bubble wrap, I don't think he strains his neck on that pillow in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I also don't think he slides on the ice like he had bad skates on in the outfield that last year where it gave everybody a heart attack that he might have done something serious. The fact of the matter is, I want Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. I want Atlee Rutschman, and I want J-Rod in there, and I want them all to overdo it.
Yeah, I want them all to overdo it. Now, yes. Yordan was asked about participating in the event. Apparently this was yesterday after the win against Toronto. Alvarez said that, quote, it hasn't crossed my mind. He also said, right now, at this point, I'm just going to focus on trying to help the team win, trying to finish this first half strong. It's really something I'm not super motivated to do right at this moment.
Perfect.
Music to my ears.
Keep it right there, Yordan. Keep the focus right where you're. I like where your head's at. You keep doing that. Just like when you said, hey, when they went to Mexico, it was a chance to restart the season and then get things going in the right direction. Well, darn it, here we are. Don't screw it up now.
I want to put him in bubble wrap and then put him in, like, the bubble room, like the bubble boy, and then only let him out of the bubble room for the bubble boy in bubble wrap whenever it's his turn to bat.
I'm going to let him go to the weight room, too.
You want him in the weight room?
I'm going to let him in the weight room, and I'm going to let him eat. He's got to stay healthy.
What about
and strong.
Sleep?
Well, he can sleep. He can sleep with all the extra spare time he has in the bubble.
Yeah, he does need to be strong. I don't want him to do too much weights, though. Like, he needs to be smart about how he's doing the weights. Now, one good thing about doing the weights, aside from making his bones strong and his muscles big, is that the best motivator in sports history resides in that weight room.
As long as you've got that strength coach, you don't want to piss him off either, because he could also go the other way on you, and you don't need that. You need him in your corner supporting you, so therefore you're going to do your regular weight routine.
Yeah, you got to have Hazel Wesson on your side.
Wes, they like to call him.
They call him Wes because his last name is Wesson. 713-780-ESPN. But that's why. We don't want Yordan Alvarez to have fun, Chewy. We don't want Yordan to have fun. We want him to win baseball games and lift titles. This texter says we're not winning the World Series. He should do the home run derby. What's more important to you, making the playoffs and chasing a World Series or participating in the home run derby? Making the playoffs and chasing a World Series. That's what it is. Let Tucker do it then, says 308. Are you kidding me?
No,
so Tucker can foul off the pitch off his shin and then miss 2.5 months? You kidding me? I'm not letting Kyle Tucker do it. You know who can do it? Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu can do it. It's $19.5 million. That's who can do it. Jose Abreu should be the only Astro, quote-unquote Astro, that's even thinking about the home run derby. We're not having fun here. This isn't a funny business. It's not about fun. It's about wins.
The double dole off the shin in the same spot wasn't enough to scare the hell out of you that Tucker's the next one in bubble wrap if you have to once you get him back?
Killer Bees, no fun here. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line and talk about all the fun we'll be having. Patrick, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. So, Jeremy, you made a comment a little bit ago about how you didn't want anything to be unanimous when it came to Bregman, and it kind of brought up, for one of my most frustrating issues in sports was when Ken Griffey Jr. wasn't unanimous because the one guy from New York didn't think anybody should be unanimous, and then that same guy the very next year votes Mariano Rivera in as unanimous. So if Bregman's not going to be here next year, and he's been a part of two titles, why wouldn't he be in your Hive of Fame?
I just don't have him on the same tier with Bagwell Biggio. Like, I understand where you're coming from. He's been on two World Series teams. He's been the best third baseman in Astros history. That's fair to say. I know that Bagwell Biggio don't have the titles, and I'm usually a guy who values the titles, but I just don't have him on the Bagwell Biggio Berkman tier. And it's volume, it's counting stats, it's all of that. That's why. Man, he belongs in the Killer Bees hive of fame. Mm-hmm. I just want him on a slightly less rung than Bagwell and Biggio, quite frankly.
Well, and that's what you have to deal with as a fan when the voting is not in your hands and everybody is entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, and I do agree with this point, though. Like, it drives me crazy, too. Like, either you're a Hall of Famer or you're not. Obviously, we're having some fun with the Hive of Fame, but I agree with him with the Ken Griffey.
That one really bothered me because I'm a massive fan of Ken Griffey Jr., one of my favorite baseball players, if not my favorite baseball player of all time, and he got jobbed.
Yeah, 5535, seriously, no Bum Phillips. He'll kick the door down next year. Don't worry. This isn't the only year this has happened. He'll kick that darn door down next year. 8755 says Singleton can do the home run derby, and then 8341 says that's just wrong, talking about Jose Abreu like that. I am so, so sorry, 8341. I am so sorry that Jose Abreu has made $95 million in his career and $19.5 million to go away this year and $19.5 million to go away next year. I apologize to absolutely nobody for talking about Jose Abreu like that.
God, I mean, seriously, get over your feelings on that one. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, how dare it? Think of the children. Think of Jose Abreu and his family. Yeah, living in the lap of luxury.
They're in Florida kicking it with all that money, doing whatever the hell they want. They'll be just fine.
All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. I'm going to nominate that texture. Car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. That's Spencer Arrighetti's music. The Don. Spencer Arrighetti was brilliant last time out. 4-6, 5.68 ERA. Jose Barrios goes for the Blue Jays. 7-6, 3.38 ERA. Barrios is interesting because he's got reverse splits this year, but normal splits over the course of his career. And Joe Espada going with a starting nine behind Spencer Arrighetti of Altuve, Bregman, Yordan in left, Yiner DH is Myers, Singleton, and then Peña, Loperfido starts for the first time in four games, and then Salazar catching Spencer Arrighetti, which, I mean, that's fine. Yiner had the long game on Sunday, then had to catch the early game yesterday. I don't mind Yiner
Who caught him in the Rockies game?
Pretty sure it was Yiner.
Yeah, that's why. If it ain't broke right now, let's not fit.
Yeah, but it's tough to rough Yiner out there for, you know, late game, early game yesterday after a long flight. I guess not a long flight, New York to Toronto. But, yeah, I don't mind it too much.
I would
much.
Just prefer that you, once you get him right, you keep him right. So I would avoid as much straying from what worked last time as you can.
I guess I don't know that for sure. I mean, I'm kind of guessing that it was Yiner. I'm pretty sure it was, but I'll double check. No, Salazar. Salazar.
Oh,
caught
good.
Spencer
okay, then I'm good
time.
With it. Yeah, that's what I said. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If that's right, then that's great.
Yeah, he caught him. That was right. It was the day game. Mm-hmm. So Salazar was catching the day game.
We were at the Highway Cantina.
We were. Yeah, ate some beef. Ate some tacos al pastor. That's how I remember my days, is what I ate that day. What are you expecting from Arrighetti today?
I'm going to say 6-2.
I'll take it. Yep. Yeah, okay. 50-10, he wants to nominate our voting for the Killer Bee Hive of Fame. He said that Jason Statham, the beekeeper, should have made the Hive of Fame.
It's a great call.
No, it's not.
From a humorous perspective, it's a great call.
It's a funny text, yes. But it's a terrible call.
Not accurate in terms of how we did our voting. Call. But yeah. I'm sure if our other regular bee would have been here, he would have loved every bit of that and been serious about it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just not at all accurate. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are you nominating for the car wreck of the day, Blankers?
Easy one, especially after the Astros played yesterday in a day game, but it's got to be the United States men's national team all the way around. Yeah, and Glenn covered all the details, but it's the talk of all of sports right now in this country. What just how embarrassing everything has been and is and continues to be.
Shouldn't have lost to Panama. That way a red card. How do you fall for that? Yeah, that's a good call. I think the ref in yesterday's match belongs there, too.
I was a little surprised that you put more stock in it because sometimes you don't care about that stuff. But that was a little bit over the top to not shake hands after the match.
Yeah, I mean, Gleeman was right. Pulisic did say, hey, there's the other team. Go celebrate with them.
Did he say it before the handshake?
As he was walking up.
Oh.
Like in his gait, walking to the official. At the same time, though, just shake his hand. Right. Like, it looks worse not shaking his hand. You might not agree with what he did, but I still think you got to shake his hand.
When did we have that discussion?
The yellow card was the worst.
When we were like, with the radio guy, the talk show guy. And the broadcaster for
White Sox.
The White Sox. And then they met face to face and he wouldn't shake his hand.
Yeah, they were talking trees, gave him a pat on the back. Pulisic was mean first, Virginia. But I still feel like you're a ref there. You got to be the bigger person. Now, the worst thing that he did yesterday was the flashing the yellow and then giving them the advantage. I've never seen anything like that in soccer. He brandished the yellow card. And he said, play on after he blew the whistle. It was bizarre. Certainly not the reason that they lost. You didn't score a goal in that match. You scored nil goals. So that's why.
Also, the FS1 game cam.
Yeah, it was very... I heard that that wasn't FS1. I heard that that was whoever puts on the tournament, and they feed them broadcast.
They were taking the feed?
That's what I was told.
FS1 was the one taking the beating last night, because it was like all over the place. Everybody, the minute that the game started, was like, what the hell? They're watching ants.
Yeah. It was a different look. I don't think that they had any control over it, though. Any others? I have a couple. Because I did have the camera angle in yesterday's match. How about Ollie Gordon, running back for Oklahoma State? A Dewey.
Yep.
Got a Dewey. I don't think that he's going to miss any games, though. I bet you that. I don't think so.
I think he'll be suspended.
What's that?
I think he'll miss a game or two. The university will suspend him.
Maybe so. I don't know. I don't know about that. Yesterday, you and Brian not mentioning that Hector Herrera was an all-star. I was testing y'all. That's the reason that I didn't bring it up. I was testing y'all to see if y'all were going to bring up Hector Herrera being mentioned as an all-star or mentioning that he was an all-star, and y'all didn't. Y'all didn't do that. So
did
I'm
you?
Nominating y'all. No,
oh,
I was testing y'all.
Right.
I was testing y'all to see if y'all were going to mention that Hector Herrera was an all-star, and y'all didn't do it.
Interesting how that works.
Y'all should have mentioned it.
I have MLB Now.
What's this?
It's a website that is talking about the Astros. The positive. Their headline on their tweet is, the Astros have made up 7 games on the Mariners over the last 2 weeks. They're cooking. But then when they do the graphic, they're like, and look at all the guys they played without. And they put Bennett Souza and Oliver Ortega as injured pitchers that the Astros could have used.
They are wrong.
They're not going to help you. They also, along with Penn Murphy, Kendall Graveman, Verlander, Javier, Urquidy, McCullers, Garcia, and Bloss. And you're going to throw in Bennett Souza and Oliver Ortega?
You're forgetting how many people were putting Bennett Souza as like a key arm for the bullpen at the start of the year.
Did they see spring training?
He did get lit up in spring training.
Yeah.
But remember, like, coming into the year, everybody was because he finished
strong. Last year everybody noticed him.
That is funny. So they just had like a huge long graphic?
Yeah, it's a split screen on starters and relievers, and those guys were right there.
I bet you they're trying to get attention for like how many arms they've been.
Strength the numbers.
Yeah, the job that Murphy and Miller have done.
There were another two guys they wanted fired.
They get so much grief, Murphy and Miller. Oh, they're never going to be Brent Strom, even though they led Major League Baseball in ERA their very first year once Brent Strom was gone. And then this year, with all of those injured arms, how bad it was, worst in the league in ERA because you're using 30-something pitchers on the big league team, which is like an Astros record. In the last 2 months, they're top 5 in ERA.
You've turned around Blanco. You've fixed Brown, and if Arrigetti pitches well again tonight, they got to get credit for that too.
Hey, how are those guys not getting love?
It's a very fickle group of orange Kool-Aid drinkers.
You know what else is weird? I was thinking about this, thinking of Murphy and Miller last night as I laid my head down to my pillow. It's weird to me that pitching coaches, like, that's it for them. Like, they never get promoted to manager. Like, you have these bench coaches, they get promoted to manager, and these pitching coaches are always pitching coaches.
You're right. Some of the great ones of all time were never managers, but was Roger Craig? Was he a pitching coach?
I don't know.
He won some World Series with the Giants.
That's before
in
my
that
time.
Run at the turn of the.
But
century?
Think of like all the great pitching coaches in recent memory. Like Rizzone or Rizzoni, the guy for the Braves.
The Braves guy.
Who was his name?
Leo
Mazzoni. He would rock.
And Mel Stottlemyre, Senior.
Never managers.
Yeah.
Like the pitching coaches are just pitching coaches.
Brent
Strong. It's weird.
Damn it, after they won the World Series.
Like offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, they always get promoted, but not pitching coaches. It's so bizarre. All right, what's winning here?
U.S. Men's National Team.
Yeah, that's an easy one. U.S. Men's National Team. They won something. They advance in Car Wreck of the Day. All right, thanks to B-Rod for doing the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Goodbye.